Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. John Heyman joins us on the Home Run Inn Pizza Hotline. Try the ultra thick frozen pizza today. Good morning, John. How
morning,
are
John.
You?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
I'm back off the ledge a little bit after Detroit found a way to lose to Cleveland.
That's not a good thing for Detroit, but they've had that kind of season. They had the three good games against the White Sox, but otherwise it's been a downer of a year in Detroit.
Well, I got to tell you, that's the thing that is stunning, is as you watch the White Sox, and I think they've lost something like 7 or 8 straight to Detroit and obviously already lost the season series. They can't match up with that team. They can't match that team. And yet it's like these weird games within the division where, you know, Cleveland has Detroit's number for whatever reason. And that matchup, Cleveland looked like they never win another game. And here they go. And right after that series, they get a win.
Yeah, and that's definitely not good for Detroit. Cleveland is kind of like the American League's Houston right now. I know Houston will be going to the American League, so we'll have two of these teams. But Cleveland is really on a downward slide. I think Manny Acker's job is probably in jeopardy, but they do have some talent. They do have the ability to win a game here and there, just like Kansas City does. And Kansas City has obviously been a thorn to the White Sox at times, but it's that kind of a division. And, both still have a chance at the wild card as well, the Detroit and the White Sox. It's a lot of parity there at around 10 games over 500. So I think the White Sox are in pretty good position. And Detroit, despite Scherzer has really been the best pitcher in the league over the past couple weeks. Having Scherzer and Verlander, they really haven't been able to take advantage of probably the best 1-2 punch in the league at this point.
You know, John, Chris Sale the other night, I think, topped out around 91, 92, his velocity down just a tad. He can get around that if he mixes things up. But, you know, it's a second straight outing that he gave up a couple home runs, was not as sharp as we have become maybe used to seeing him in Chicago, certainly in this season that he's been so good. How would you handle him down the stretch? 28 games left, not a whole lot of wiggle room, and yet you need him to be the Chris Sale you're used to seeing.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to monitor that pretty closely. They had concerns early.
Would you skip a start?
It's tough to do that right now. I know Washington is skipping the rest of the season for Strasburg after September 12th, but I'm not sure they're going to do it. They're going to look at it closely, I'm sure. The velocity down is definitely a concern. He isn't the horse that Verlander is or even Scherzer. You know, he's obviously a thin guy. He hasn't thrown as many innings over his career or in a season as certainly Verlander or even Scherzer has. So definitely a concern, definitely something to monitor, and wouldn't rule out anything, including missing a start.
What's your everyone's talking about Strasburg and where they're at. And I understand when a guy isn't used to 200 innings like Sal, we get concerned about it. We're following how his velocity is going. But the Strasburg thing is a completely different situation because he's coming off Tommy John surgery. And I know that he met with the team yesterday. They had to deal with his personal concerns about it. They're now talking. They're saying they're going to shut him down. I guess it's two more starts for him. Can you imagine actually doing that and letting that? And how does that affect the team if indeed you end up going into the playoffs without your ace?
Oh, they're doing it. There's no question about it. He's not going to be able to talk them out of it. They're shutting them down after the two starts, and that's where they handled Zimmerman. After 161 innings last year, I believe it was, they shut him down, and he's come back, and although his last two starts haven't been particularly good, he's had a very good season this year, and has an ERA around 3, and he's going to get around 200 innings and be one of those guys in the playoffs for them. So it worked for him, and I give them credit. I know they're going to take a lot of heat, and they are taking a lot of heat, and I understand that. But, I give them credit for putting the kids' health ahead of the team. There aren't too many GMs, not too many teams who would do that. And it doesn't eliminate them. It doesn't say they're definitely not going to win the World Series. They've got a shot. The Cardinals won the World Series last year, didn't have Wainwright. It is possible, certainly a huge loss. He is their ace, definitely their best pitcher. But they have Gio Gonzalez, who's an ace pitcher. Sorry to bring up that name there, but they have Zimmerman. I didn't do that on purpose. They have Zimmerman, and they still have Edwin Jackson and Detweiler. So they have a probably an average to slightly above average playoff rotation. So, you know, they have a good thing going. They've got a shot. They're very, very, very likely to win the division, which gives them an advantage there. And, you know, it certainly diminishes their chances to win the World Series. But I think it's definitely the right thing for them to do from his standpoint.
John, after the Yankees' latest loss, Derek Jeter, I think, was asked about panicking. And it's a team panic. And he says, you know, I don't panic. And I think everyone can understand that about Jeter. It's what makes him great. But what's the level of pressure in New York? Because the Yankees, now you look at the standings, the lead's down to one. The Rays are coming on strong, back 2.5. You know, the Orioles owned them. How would you describe the way that the pressure Joe Girardi is feeling?
Yeah, I think Girardi may be feeling some panic. I don't believe Jeter is feeling any panic. And, you know, I understand people ask him that. But look at Jeter's career. He's not a panic kind of guy at all. And it's he and Rivera and before that Posada and Pettit to some degree have had the most panic-free, greatest career from a win standpoint of any player. I mean, you can't imagine a career like this where they only missed the playoffs with the Yankees one time, and even that time they won in the high 80s. You know, you look at Boston, the year that they've had here, disaster. You know, it seems to me that Boston is more of a pressure cooker, believe it or not, than New York is. Everybody in Boston is a baseball fan. It seems like everybody's a second guesser. The owner is over-involved, flying out to Seattle for his fact-finding mission. I don't know what facts he's going to find out, but they're terrible. That's the fact I can tell him about that. But you know, I don't believe the players are panicking, and that's the main thing. It's a little tight for Girardi because, you know, in terms of being a Yankee manager with a $190 million-plus payroll, you know, people aren't going to like it if they miss out to Baltimore or even Tampa. Tampa has been a winning team for several years here, but their payroll is obviously a mere fraction of the Yankee payroll.
John, you know, we don't talk a lot about the Cubs anymore because it's been very painful to watch, but they are on the verge of a 100-loss season. Is there any significance to that? I mean, this is the new rally cry, is don't lose 100. And Anthony Rizzo says he doesn't want it to happen. What does it matter if you lose 99 of 100? I guess they've only lost 100 twice before, or three times before in their history, and it's not a glorious history. Is there significance to it?
Not to me. I at least they're not Houston. You got to look at that. Houston's going to lose a lot more than the Cubs still. You know, they're loading up for the future with some below 25 type players who are really good. They have a lot of talent that is very young. Rizzo, Castro, obviously, here already. And Jackson's going to be very good at some point. And you have your Correa, you have Almora. Not Correa, I'm sorry, Almora. And, you know, they have Soler is going to be terrific, a terrific power hitter. So they have stockpiled a lot of young talent for the future, but it's not for this year, and some of them aren't for next year. And, you know, I mean, I think that's the way you got to look at it. To me, the number of losses, whether it's 97 or 99 or 100, to me, it has no significance. It might bother one or two of the players, but they'll get over it. Not important. Nobody thinks about it the following year. I mean, if you're a record setter, like, you know, Houston has been so bad. I think they've had the worst 56-game stretch since 1916 or something like that, 8-48. I mean, that's bad. But there are 100 lost teams almost every year. I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Speaking of the Cubs, they're in Houston next week for a series. It looks like September 12th has been mentioned as a possibility of when Roger Clemens could make an appearance and come back with the Astros against the Cubs. Is that good for baseball, John?
No, it's not. It's a stunt. It's a sideshow. It's not a good one. I mean, we knew this guy was coming. As soon as he said that he's not coming back and that he doesn't really have interest in pitching in the majors, he knew he was coming back because obviously his first instinct is not to tell the truth. And I understand he was exonerated from the perjury charges, but this is not a guy who's ever been a truth teller at all, and you know, we knew he was coming back there. And I don't know whether it's just to try to get around that being on the steroid battle. He doesn't want to be in the steroid battle with those terrible steroid users, but of course he's one of the biggest ones of all. You know, I'm sure Bud Selig's not thrilled about this, but you know, Clemens has kind of gotten in with the new owner, Crane in Houston, and curry's favor with him. And, you know, I understand he's a big name, and it's probably hard to say, get away from me, Roger, when you're there. And some of the fans love him, or many of the fans love him. So it's not good for baseball. I mean, do we want to see Barry Bonds come back, too, and Sosa and whoever?
Is it wrong for me to think that he's pushing that calendar back on the Hall of Fame? There'll be some understanding of how to deal with those guys?
Yeah, I think that's probably what he's trying to do. Personally, I would vote for him anyway because I feel he's a Hall of Famer. He was a Hall of Famer before he started using the steroids We have to use a lot of judgments here in the voting. And I understand people who don't want to vote for him at all. I'd vote for him even though I find him to be not a truth teller, as I said, and definitely a steroid user. But I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to play with the calendar and get off that ballot with all those other steroid users. He wants to be the only steroid user on the ballot, maybe. I don't know, get that out of everybody's mind. I'm not sure it's going to ultimately make a difference. The steroid guys have not been able to get 75%. 75% is not easy. I have not voted for McGuire. I have not voted for Palmeiro, but I felt they were put over the top with their steroid usage, and I feel Clemens, as a ball player, was a Hall of Famer even before he got involved. I believe he won 3 Cy Youngs with Boston. And that's when he hit the twilight of his career and then took off again somehow, miraculously. But, I think he's trying to toy with us, trying to play with the system. I ultimately don't think it's going to work. But, like I said, I'm going to vote for him either way, whether it's now or 5 years from now.
What about Bonds?
Bonds, I put him in that same category, yeah. Hall of Famer before he, that's the way I'm going to do it. Okay. Bonds, A-Rod, and Clemens, I'm going to lean toward voting for unless there's some new evidence that they took steroids starting in high school or something like that. But at this point, they didn't seem like steroid users to me early in their career and were steroid users later. So I will vote for Bonds. I assume that's what you mean.
That's what I meant.
Not is he making a comeback, but not too many people enough to make a comeback like Clemens. I mean, you should hear the scouts talk about it. I know he got a favorable review because he threw 3, I think it was 3 1/3 scoreless innings against Bridgeport. Big deal. He's throwing 87, 88. He's obviously overweight. It kind of reminds me of the fat Elvis making a big comeback. It's not a good thing.
All right, John. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, good talking.
That's John Heyman from CBS Sports, their fine MLB insider.
Fat Elvis night at Minute Maid Park.
Oh, man, that's awesome. 312-644-6767, Molly and Hanley on the score.